today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Californians are no longer welcome in Europe or Alaska or New York, or the last glimmer of the Alaska cruise season, by the way, has been canceled, and Broadway is dark until the new year. Details coming up next.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we talk about the new health screenings by major airlines. Will they help make it safer to fly?
You check into the hotel, go to your room, and the key doesn't work. Back at the desk, the clerk tells you not to put it in your pocket with your phone because it demagnetizes the key. But is that really true? We'll give you just one man's opinion on the subject at 3:35.
Travelers are getting into cars and on trains instead of flying, and that means, in many cases, staying closer to home. Tuolumne County is just a ton of great things to see and do, including lesser-known parts of Yosemite Park. That feature starts at 3:45.
Welcome to the travel show that's all about the journey. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's zone.
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman. We are the official hosts of the show. And happy, well, first radio program of July. Hope you had yourself a wonderful 4th of July. It was safe for you and your family in many ways. Of course, being safe kind of takes on in twofold for the 4th of July this year. Number one, you know, staying socially distanced and wearing your mask. And the other, as always, let's not set anything on fire or burn yourself. Mark, fireworks activities in your neck of the woods?
I live about 5 miles from you, 4 or 5 miles from you, out in on the Rancho Cordova side of Gold River. Out by Sunrise in Coloma, and there was still stuff going off last night at about 2:15 in the morning, pretty regularly. So some people, either their clocks didn't work well, or they just had too much alcohol and had lost track of time, or maybe somebody bought too many fireworks and felt compelled to set them all off. But yes, we were still booming well into the night out in Rancho.
Well, you know, it started a few weeks early, and I think it'll probably last for a few days longer as well.
Well, and here's Mark, what happened. Tom, was the because the big shows weren't in abundance for folks to go out and see, I think folks bought more stuff and set it off in their driveway or their backyard or in their neighbor's driveway or in their neighbor's living room or whatever it is, wherever it is that you do that sort of stuff. So anyway, you were starting to say, welcome to.
Yeah. Exactly. But before I say that, you're absolutely right. I'm sure home sales of fireworks is going to be much higher. But the fireworks that most people were seeing leading up to yesterday were a lot of the really big illegal stuff. I mean, we had one display not too far from our place that started to rival Cal Expo a couple of times last night. Well, you just returned from a little short outing up into the Portland area. Tell us, our listeners, how did that go? What was it like? Give us details.
A piece of cake, because flying, if you're going to fly, there are about 4 or 5 days of the year that you'll find nobody on the planes and nobody in the airports. Of course, now that would be any day. But under normal circumstances, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve after 12 o'clock, after middle of the day, and 4th of July is another one of those days, particularly afternoon, because most folks are where they want to go, and people are sending fireworks off all over the place, which is generally not a great thing for airplanes flying through the sky. So, generally they wrap things up by dark on 4th of July. So came home on a Southwest plane yesterday with 57 people on it, I think, from from Portland, which brings me to something really important to emphasize to people here, and that is until the end of September, so we have like 2.5 months, if you decide that you're going to travel somewhere and you're going to fly, and I know a lot of people are not doing this, but if you have to go for business or I've got to set up tours for coming years and stuff in hopes that things will be okay soon, and so there is some planning and stuff required there, and I'm trying not to travel, but sometimes it's just a necessity. I flew on Southwest. Keep in mind, for the next 2.5 months, Southwest and Delta are not selling the middle seat, period. So you have a certain amount of not only social distancing, but going back to the old days before that was so important, comfort, which is really important to all of us. Having that middle seat open in a 3-seat row, unless you're traveling with someone and you choose to utilize that seat, provide you a tremendous amount of comfort. Okay, here's another deal. The plane's only 2/3 full, so there's going to be plenty of room in the overhead. So, you know, there are a lot of advantages, not to the airlines, unfortunately, but Southwest and Delta are extending this courtesy to people until the end of September. American and United are not. They say they will call you and give you a chance to change if the plane is really full or something like that. For a lot of reasons, that's not going to be such a great idea. I would definitely – I'm a guy who has 1.5 million miles on United and 500,000 miles on American, and I'm flying Delta or Southwest until the end of September if I have to fly. And one other thing. If you're on an airplane and the airplane pulls up to the gate, you know, everybody always stands up right away to get their stuff out of the overhead. Doesn't matter if you're in row 2 or row 22. Everybody stands up, and then you've got an aisle that's very clogged with people. Since we're all trying to social distance when we can, you've kind of just undone everything good that you've done to that point, boarding in groups of 10 and middle seat open and that stuff. So when the plane arrives, stay seated until they get it to a couple rows ahead of you disembarking, and then get up and get your stuff together and things like that. It's going to take a little bit longer to get off the plane, but it's a lot safer than standing with somebody breathing down your back and somebody else breathing down your back and, you know, a whole line of people. So just that was just something that I thought about yesterday. The flight attendants asked people to do it, and then they didn't. And it just, you know, it made common sense. So just stay seated and wait to get your stuff. So that's – you didn't ask me for travel tips, but there you got a couple.
There you go.
And my fingers are purple.
Asked that you...
Yeah, my fingers are purple today because I brought back a bunch of berries and was cleaning them all last night. And, you know, the Marion berries are in season. And the cherries from up in Oregon and Washington put the cherries down here to shame. So, anyway, those all have to be cleaned and put away and stuff. You know me. I like to go up and bring those lovely treats back home.
Well, good for you. All right, folks. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. And let's bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, let's see here. Americans are really not welcome much of anywhere. In fact, Californians are not really welcome much of anywhere in this country right now. The EU has barred U.S. travelers. New York City has barred people from about 15, 16 states. The list has grown a couple of times since they put it out. If you're going to go someplace, you really, truly need to take a look and make sure that when you get there that you will be welcome there, because more and more states are now putting mandatory quarantine. Some of them are optional, some are mandatory. I don't know that it's quite as much of a crackdown as Hawaii, but you don't want to get yourself in trouble. So do your homework. At TravelGuysRadio.com, there is a list, which unfortunately was put together on July the 2nd, and today is July the 5th, so after the weekend, the list may be a little bit different, but at least for as of the 2nd, it was accurate. So if you are planning to go somewhere, even to another one of these United States, even if you're driving, Californians, because of the COVID spike, are not welcome a lot of places right now. So do your homework and make sure you know before you go that you can get in where it is that you need to go, or if you need a COVID test or whatever it is that you need to do. Broadway is going to remain shuttered until at least January, and if you're a listener of the travel, this was announced last week, if you're a listener of the Travel Guys, this doesn't surprise you at all, because remember when our friend Richard Lewis told us about that he didn't think Broadway would be up and running by Labor Day.
Right now, Broadway theaters are refunding tickets through like Labor Day, which would imply that they're going to reopen after Labor Day. That will not be the case.
And so Richard told us back a few weeks here on the ago on the Travel Guys that Broadway would likely not open at Labor Day, and it turned out that his information was very accurate. Not going to open until at least the first of the year. The Broadway League, which represents theater owners and producers, said on Monday it was working with the theatrical unions and some key experts and some of the greatest minds in and outside of the industry on protocols that might aid the reopening effort. Interestingly enough, Broadway theater is a $2 billion a year business. Ticket sales contributes $575 million in tax revenue to New York City. About two-thirds of the patrons are tourists. So until there are tourists, there aren't going to be people in Broadway theaters, and they're going to have to figure out the whole social distancing thing and make sure that people don't go in and get each other sick, or maybe we will just have a way to be able to avoid that. But anyway, as Richard told us recently, Broadway is not coming back until at least the spring. And interestingly enough, Hugh Jackman in The Music Man, which is a show that might be of interest to folks from Sacramento, since some people kind of feel that it's a little bit about Sacramento, was planning to open up this fall, but they have postponed their opening and are still planning on going and starting up next spring. Another passenger was removed for refusing to wear a mask. This was on a Spirit Airlines plane. Folks, this is the deal. If you don't want to wear a mask on an airplane, they're going to, if they don't kick you off, they're going to write you up. And then you're going to find yourself not welcome. South of lady on Southwest, I had a nice conversation with the flight attendant yesterday coming home. And she said, yes, what we just do is we ask the customer politely once if they'll put it on. And if they give us any pushback at all, we just go away from them. We go back and get the passenger list up front. We make a note when we land on the ground. We immediately go out to the desk and tell them that passenger refused to put on a face mask. And she said, then it's out of our hands and there's no confrontation on the plane. So just if you're traveling on an airplane and you're one of these face mask people and you think it's a huge statement or something like that, just know that you may put your ability to be able to travel in the future in jeopardy if you don't wear a mask. By the way, in Oregon, Tom, we were up there for about 48 hours, saw two people without a mask the whole time. Two. Good news also, Sacramento Airport coming and going, didn't see a single soul without a mask. So people are starting maybe to understand that it's more about us than it is about who we're going to vote for in November. So I hope so.
Outstanding. Good. That's good to hear.
Thomas, if you had a choice right now of getting on a plane or getting on a train, you had to travel, and Portland, something like that, which one would you prefer?
Well, you know, I've been thinking a plane flight's going to be a lot shorter in all cases. You may, depending on here again, if you're flying Southwest, you get an opportunity to be socially distanced and wear your mask. You know, I'm sure the protocols on the trains are pretty stringent, but you're on the train for a lot of hours. You're probably going to get out of your seat. You're going to go to one of the other cars or whatever. And last time I recall, there's not a lot of room in an aisle on a train, much like a plane. I think, even though, I think I'd go plane.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. The reason I asked you that is because Amtrak's medical director has spoken out on health and safety protocols, reminding people that in most cases they are keeping the trains only half full. Amtrak is thinking of some type of health survey, which we're about to, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the airlines, which are about to institute something like that for people who travel, which I think, frankly, it's a pain in the rear end. But under the circumstances right now, I think we would all like to know that the person next to us at least signed off on something that says that they're healthy.
Right.
So I think that's kind of important. But anyway, Amtrak has released a new video talking about health and safety guidelines. So I just wanted folks to know that the airlines are trying to do everything they can. Amtrak is cutting back on the number of people they're allowing on trains, cutting back, of course, on cafe service and stuff like that. Interestingly enough, I was at a farmer's market in Vancouver, Washington yesterday, and all of the food vendors, save one, have been eliminated. And you're not allowed to, nobody has samples or anything, and you're not allowed to consume anything, even if you bought it. there within the grounds of the farmer's market. You're supposed to take it outside. So, but my favorite farmer's market was still up and running in Vancouver. Yay, yay, yay.
There you go. Did you notice people acting any differently? And I've talked to others that have gone to farmer's markets, and, you know, early on, you would see people not lingering long. They would go get what they were there to get and then get out. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I think that's they had some signs up and stuff. The Vancouver, little Vancouver, Washington Farmers Market across the river from Portland is only about two blocks long. It's always been one of my favorite. Folks have probably heard me talk about it before. This is the time of the year when fresh berries and everything are in, and it's a great little place to go. They had controlled entry. They were asking people to walk, you know, down the aisle in one direction on one side of the aisle and back up the other. And they had signage and the like, and they had monitors to try to encourage people to do that. And I didn't see a few people were just being forgetful and, you know, not following the directions because they weren't quite aware of their surroundings. But by and large, it seemed like any other day at the farmer's market in Vancouver, and I was really grateful for that, because any place you can go right now that feels like it's felt before this, I think is a huge plus. So people were smiling and friendly and happy.
How could they be smiling? Wait a minute. People are smiling. How do you know they're wearing masks?
You can smile with your eyes, you know.
Okay. All right.
You can frown, too.
You figured that one out.
remember, we've been talking about the cruise line Norwegian that had like 8 cruises to Alaska in September. They thought they were going to run, and we were kind of questioning how that was all going to happen. Well, yeah. We were right to question it, because now it's not going to happen. Norwegian announced last week that they canceled those 8 cruises up to Alaska in September. We were just wondering, after the whole cruise season had gone awry, how there was going to be an infrastructure for those 8 trips. But anyway, that's not happening. So the whole Alaska cruise season has gone kaputsky. So we'll try again next year. And that is your travel news. Sorry to be so depressing, but it's just hard to find upbeat stories. That's your depressing travel news for today.
Well, let's try the next segment, see if we can get a little more upbeat. If you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys. And we're going to be talking about the new health screenings for major airlines and see if that's going to make it all safer for us to fly. Stick around. We'll talk about that next here on the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Wearing my mask, I am leaving on the jet plane.
Not very many people leaving on jet planes right now.
I got my own bottle of water.
You're going to need that, because
you know what I got? I got a friend of mine who's a contractor. He does home improvements, and he ran across a place that sold those plastic screens that you can buy.
Yes,
and
I like those.
They're designed for a lot of different things. Medical workers wear them, but they're also used in the cooking industry and in the contracting industry to keep fumes and things from getting in your face. Anyway, he brought a couple over the other day. I think I look really cool in it myself.
I wear a mask
and sunglasses.
I was sampling one the other day, and the nice thing is, I mean, if you're in my industry, if you're a tour director, talking through a mask is a little difficult, and taking the mask down then kind of defeats the purpose. But if you have one of those screens, the microphone can go up underneath the screen, and you can still effectively communicate without having to spray the room. So.
There you go. All right, here we are. We're the Travel Guys. We're supposed to be here to make you a smarter traveler, so let's do some of that. Mark, let's talk about the new health screenings.
Airlines are going to require passengers to answer a series of health questions before boarding, including whether they have experienced COVID-19 symptoms or have been exposed to someone who has tested positive to the virus. Major U.S. carriers are going to implement the policy. Travelers should expect to be asked to fill out the new health questionnaire when they check in. Besides questions about their health, passengers are asked to commit to wearing a face covering at the airport and on their flight. I saw the first version of this, Tom, checking in for a Southwest flight yesterday. It just came up on the screen. Asks, have you had any of these symptoms? Have you been near anybody who's had any of these symptoms? Have you been near anybody who has tested positive? It's pretty basic stuff that you're seeing in other places.
And this was on the screen right there where you're checking your luggage and such and getting your boarding pass?
I was doing it on my – I was checking into Southwest on my phone, as many of us do.
Okay.
And to get the lowest boarding number. And as I was checking in, before it allowed me to check in and see my number, up came a screen that I had to acknowledge that I saw. In fact, I believe there were two screens that asked for my acknowledgement that, you know, I read that stuff and I knew what was going on. I didn't see anything there that was any more intrusive than some of the other health screens. You know, I mean, you go into the doctor's office and they give you a little thing and they say, you know, have you any of these four or five or six things? And that was it. There weren't this says something about their how many questions? It doesn't say how many questions. I've got the number 19 in my brain because it's COVID-19. But anyway, it was just a simple little survey. It didn't add a lot to things. I also will just honestly say I don't think that it necessarily makes people a lot safer. I think it's more to cover the airline's butt. And also, I think if somebody was positive and they checked that box and they knew they were positive and they checked that box and said that they weren't and got on the airplane and infected some other people, I don't know what the legal liabilities are to that, but there might be some, or it might be that the airline loses its liability. I don't think anybody knows a lot of this stuff. I talked to a travel attorney last week and asked him if he'd consider coming on our program to make people a little smarter about this. And he said, until a couple cases start to work their way through the system or are thrown out of the system and we see why, we're really not not going to know. So it's not anything that's really intrusive. So I wouldn't worry about it. I would worry more about remembering a mask because literally they are stopping you. If you go into the airport and a security guy sees you or a sheriff's officer or something, he's going to say, where's your mask? And if you say, well, I forgot it, why, then they're going to either send you to some place to get one or show you where the closest door is. So just, you know, don't try to be a big stud or the big lady on campus. Just, you know, grab one of those paper masks or whatever it is and just do your part.
Wow. You know, it's just real different. And I would imagine that there'll be some people that might show up, not have a mask with them. I would imagine that there might be some available.
And there are, but in both airports, I found that they were available. And the other thing is, it sounds, Tom, a little weirder than it is. I mean, really and truly, other than the fact that there aren't a lot of services available in the airport, if you approach it with an open attitude and a smile behind your mask, you'll be just fine. And also, like we always tell people, get there with plenty of time.
All right. Mark will have his semi-weekly one man's opinion coming up. You're going to love it. I hope so.
It's time for Just One Man's Opinion. Here's Mark Hoffman.
So how many out there have had this road trip experience? You arrive to check into your hotel, generally after a long day of travel. You schlep your bags along with anything else you've collected between the plane and your room. You know, your to-go dinner, the beverages, your hands are full, you're tired. But finally, the end is in sight. Off the elevator, down the hall, put the electronic key up to the lock, and nothing. Nothing. Maybe a red light. But no, green light, welcome to your room. Please come in and drop your stuff because we know you're really exhausted. So you grab all your stuff, back down the hall, swearing under your breath, into the elevator, return to the front desk. My keys don't let me in. Are you sure you put it up or into the lock correctly? Comes the response. No, ma'am, this is the first time in my life I've ever checked into a hotel, I'm thinking. I can barely fasten a seatbelt on the plane without listening carefully to the instructions. I could never open a hotel room door. But I don't say that. I say, yes, I'm reasonably certain I did it correctly. It's just not working. You see, there's no reason to make an enemy out of the only person who can help you. After a sigh or two, the front desk agent gives you the keys, sometimes with a smile, sometimes with a try-and-get-it-right-this-time sort of look. You gather up your things and return to the room, and with any luck, you're in. Second hotel key scenario. You check in, leave your room, grab a bite to eat or attend your business meeting, come back, and alas, your key won't let you in. So back downstairs to the same desk clerk who practically questioned your manhood earlier to go beg for another key. You must have put the key next to your phone, is the most common scolding. You listen to the mini lecture, get the new key, and go on with your day. Note to hotel staff. One of the most important things in the check-in process is that the key actually lets the guest into the room. Ditto for returning to the room. It's a much more key point, if I may say, than you might think, or than maybe your staff thinks. Note to guests. Would you believe that often the key that doesn't work is the result of how the staff ran the keys through the coding machine? It's very easy to mess up. Occasionally, also, a key's electronic strip wears out and quits reading. Believe it or not, the reason the key won't work isn't always your fault. In fact, while a phone could demagnetize your key, the facts show that it's very unlikely. And that is just one man's opinion.
And there you go. By the way, follow along at travelguysradio.com. Links to our special guests, especially the one that's coming up here at about 3:48, as well as a lot of other interesting stuff going on there that you'll enjoy.
Yep.
All right, let's see.
You ever had that happen to you, the key thing?
More times than I can think, imagine. Honestly, seems like at least every other trip. And it just happens. I mean, I'll tell you another one that you have to watch out for. Uh-huh. And if you book a hotel reservation, let's say you're staying at your resort that you have points with, and you're going to use partial points for a few days, and you're going to pay cash for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as the hotel is concerned, that's two separate bookings, which means that at the end of the first 3 days on your points, they will check you out, and the key no longer works moving forward on the next 3 days of your paid stay. So if you have it broken up into those, be advised, go to the desk at the end of your first 3 day stay or whatever it is, and advise them the situation and be ready to get a new set of keys.
Be ready too if you have, for example, you make a reservation for 3 nights and then later you go in and you add another night. And instead of changing the first reservation, you just say, well, I'll just put these two together. And when you check in, you tell the hotel and you say, you know, look, I'm going to be here 4 nights, so please give me a room where I won't have to move and stuff. And they're like, okay, that's all cool, except the guy forgets, or maybe the machine doesn't only picks up the first reservation. I don't know. But that's another one of the situations where you come back on day 4 to your room and the key doesn't work. And the key was never going to work on that day because it wasn't coded right. And all I'm just trying to suggest is that to any of the front desk employees who might be listening out there is that it isn't always the guest's fault. And by the way, I got to run into somebody on, speaking of hotel front desk people, there's a wonderful lady who works at the Hilton Garden Inn South Natomas, not the new one, but the one that's closest to downtown, the older one. And I stayed there Thursday night on my way to Portland. Her name is Lucci. And she's just the most friendly, wonderful gal, and I hadn't seen her for a while there, the last couple times I'd stayed, but she's part-time, as many hotel people are right now. But she was there the other night. So if you happen to frequent that hotel in South Natomas for business trips or something like that, it's not the newest Hilton Garden Inn close to the airport, but the people there are the nicest. And tell Lucci that I said hi. Lucchie. Really, really, really nice lady. Anyways, I just wanted to, sorry, I just went off on a tangent there. I had to throw that in. Let's see
okay.
Here. I've got, Tom, a story here about, before we get to Tuolumne County and what's to do up there. This is kind of cool. There's this cruise line that many folks have heard of. They work out of Norway. They are called Hurtigruten. And generally they run
Hurtigruten.
And they run these trips up the Norwegian coast, where they used to be a ferry system, and then they kind of became a ferry slash cruise boat, and now they're kind of more of a cruise ship than they are a ferry. But they stop in these little towns, and they cruise the fjords of northern Norway, which are some of the most beautiful places on the planet. So we've had, of course, a lot of problems with people being able to they get on cruise ships, they get to a port, and they don't want the cruise ship because they know that people have tested positive, or they're afraid that they might, or they might be bringing the virus with them. So these guys came up with this cruise itinerary where you don't get off the ship.
A no port a caller. Now, did you say this is would be considered in your world a small ship?
Yeah, Yeah, I would travel on one of these ships. It's this particular one is 530 passengers. That's about perfect size.
All right.
As I'm concerned. You're going to see offer passengers the opportunity to see Norway's famous coastal fjords, glaciers, and mountains as the ship travels all the way up the coast to North Cape, one of the northernmost points in Europe. So I think that's pretty cool. If you're, you know, if you're afraid of having to, and plus you as the traveler don't know what you're going to encounter in all those small towns, so you're comfortable with getting on the ship. Of course, you got to get to Norway, and that's not going to be, you know, easiest thing you've ever done.
Now, anyway, is this a currently operating, or does it have some dates here in the future?
Let's see here. Four of their 11 ships are running on the Coastal Service. They have been shut down for a while, and they've started them back up. And, of course, this means a lot less protocols because you don't have people getting on and off the ship and stuff like that. So it's a little, you've got a little more control. Once you've got people on board, you can control your protocols until it comes time for them to get off. Let's see, starts at, let's see here, starts at about $5,400. It starts at around $2,100 per person. So, and plus it's going to take you probably figure close to $2,000 to get to Norway, spend a night in a hotel, get transferred to the ship and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's a possibility. You can't go there now because people from our country are not welcome much of any place right now. But
forgot about that part.
Yeah. Can't, the travel guys who can't travel. So anyways, when we come back, we are going to take you up to Tuolumne County. I know folks are really trying to find places, things to do that are closer to home. And, Tom, you're a Yosemite fan. There's a place up there called Hetch Hetchy, and, which I've never been to. Yeah. So there's some great places in Tuolumne County if you're looking for some places close to home. And that's coming up next right here on The Travel Guys.
Hold on to me as
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and it's time to wander freely. I heard that phrase from somebody recently, and I think it might have been from you, Mark.
You think so?
Which brings us to your special introduction of our special guest today on The Travel Guys.
Well, Wander Freely is the name of the new campaign that Tuolumne County is using to try to get you to kind of head up into the hills and wander freely around in their county just a little bit. I think it's a great idea. We know that with the COVID virus that a lot of folks are looking to get out and do something, but they're not going as far as they were in pre-virus days. So it seems to me like Tuolumne County would be a great spot. There are a lot of wonderful places to see and things to do up there. Joining us here on The Travel Guys is Lisa Mayo. Lisa is the president and CEO of Visit Tuolumne County. Hi, welcome back to The Travel Guys, Lisa.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about this Wander Freely campaign.
Well, just like you're saying, it's Tuolumne County is a place where there are so many wide open spaces. We've been physically distancing since day one, really. This area was made for that. There's so many adventures to be had up in our high country and the Yosemite area, and then in our Gold Rush towns, of course. So much to explore, and you can do a lot of things under the new protocols of, you know, social distancing and wearing your mask and all these things you can do right here in Tuolumne County, and we're super easy to get to.
One of the coolest places in the whole country. Lots of folks have tried to do living history things. Old Sacramento is kind of an example of a tourist area that was created to imitate history. And one of the best ones in the entire country is in Tuolumne County, Lisa, at Columbia State Historic Park. It's really a unique spot. For folks who might not be familiar with that destination, can you share a little bit about it, something that might help people decide if that's something for them?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Columbia State Park is incredible. It's a very well-preserved historic 1850s 1950s gold rush town. You have a lot of your brick buildings that were, of course, erected after some fires had gone through, and so the brick buildings remain. But they don't just remain. They're very lively, and they're full of retail stores and restaurants and souvenir shops, leather goods store. There's a candy kitchen, a sixth-generation candy kitchen, if you can imagine that. It's fantastic. And just walking the streets alone, you can kind of feel what it was must have been like to be there in the 1850s. Maybe not as crazy and bawdy as it was back then, but just a real active, historic town. There's a stagecoach that runs 10 to 5 daily. People can ride that. You can even take your dog on the stagecoach.
It seems like that Columbia, from my memory, would be a good place for a family outing. And if you had school-age kids, why, yeah, it's a chance for them to learn something maybe about California history.
Absolutely, yes. It's a great place for families. The streets are closed off, and so you don't have to worry about cars. It's just the stagecoach that runs through town, but no cars. So, yeah, the kids can wander freely in the streets of Columbia.
You've got some, when we get into the hills or into the Napa Valley, of course, there are lots of wineries. You have a cider works and distillery in Sonora that sounds like it might be fun. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's another great place. It's Indigene Reserve Cider Works and Distillery. It is in Sonora. It's off the beaten path a little bit, but that makes it all that much more intriguing to go there. You pass through a covered bridge and come upon their beautiful property where they are currently offering hard cider tastings outside of the venue because of COVID. So they're taking all the precautions there, but you can still taste cider. They have a short hiking trail that they call it the Old Mine Trail. You can take a picnic out there. They have cornhole. You can take your dogs. Again, let the kids run around, stretch their legs. It's a great place with a really great product. We're thrilled that they're a part of Tuolumne County. They're not so new anymore, but probably been around for at least, 7 years or so. But just a really great place to get out, breathe fresh air, explore nature, and taste some great hard cider.
We're talking with Lisa Mayo. Lisa is the president and CEO of Visit Tuolumne County, and we're talking a little bit about Wander Freely, which is Tuolumne County's effort to get folks from the valley and the Bay Area up into the mountains.
Lisa, wandering freely, tell us a little bit about the, requirements there. Obviously, everybody's going to be masking up. Have you guys put out extra hand sanitizer? What can people expect, especially if they want to visit the shops and so forth? Are there, restrictions in regards to how many people can wander in? Tell me a little bit about what you know.
One of the things that we have done is we put together a Tuolumne County Healthy Pledge. And so it lets visitors and residents know what precautions the businesses are taking and that they are taking those precautions. As far as we know, that many of the stores are in restaurants are taking the precautions that they're supposed to be at this point. They kind of change from day to day, but I know everyone is doing their best to stay on top of that. So actually looking at our website, you can see those businesses and what they're doing to take that healthy pledge and keeping people safe.
I understand. I'm a big mini golf fan, and I understand that you have a mini golf course that's just calling my name.
Yes, I'm sure that it is. It is the Twain Heart Miniature Golf Course, and it is an icon to Twain Heart. People have been to Twain Heart. Chances are good that they've also been to Twain Heart Mini Golf, a family favorite for generations. It's downtown Twain Heart. It's in a wonderful location under the pine trees, where you can just imagine breathing in that fresh pine air, and you can walk to different restaurants and different things going on in the park. And so it's
Lisa, if you're not careful, Tom's going to get in the car and drive up there this afternoon. So
I'm leaving now.
It sounds like Twain Heart Miniature Golf is the Augusta of California.
Absolutely. And complete with a clown's mouth at the end. So
yeah, be careful. Tom will be trying to mooch passes or something like that before long. Listen, before I let you go, there was one more thing on your list.
Let me know.
Okay. There was one more thing on your list here that I wanted to ask you about Hetch Hetchy. Yosemite National Park, of course, lots of folks have been there. Not everybody knows that Hetch Hetchy, before the reservoir was filled, there was kind of a second Yosemite Valley, and that the scenery up there is really beautiful. And I was telling you before we started, I have never been up there. So tell us this. You've got it on your list here. It says, wander across the dam, read the history of how the O'Shaughnessy Dam was built and why it was built. You put a really important thing in here. It says, get there early as parking is limited.
Yes. There's a lot of people that have not been to Hetch Hetchy, and it is still in Yosemite National Park. It's the least, we have the least crowded half of Yosemite in our area, and Hetch Hetchy, it actually provides the drinking water for San Francisco. So it's a reservoir, and way back when they built the O'Shaughnessy Dam, and you can go out there and walk across this dam, and there's signage and photos of how they brought in all the equipment to build this little masterpiece, if you will, out there in basically the middle of nowhere at that time. It's pretty incredible. And I also like what you said, too, about Hetch Hetchy. It was often referred to as the Twin Valley to Yosemite, because when you look at it, there's a lot of similarities between Hetch Hetchy, and especially before it was dammed, and Yosemite Valley. And it's a wonderful place. It's a learning experience. You can go hiking. It's incredible.
We used to go.
I could leave Tom at the miniature golf and go on, and then
we used to
pick him up on the way back.
We used to drive up to the Hetch Hetchy from Modesto and watch the water level go down every time people turned on their faucets in San Francisco. It was amazing.
I'm so sorry, Lisa. Since Tom's at a remote location, there's just no way to control his behavior. I apologize so much for all of that. So it sounds like that there is an abundance of things to do in Tuolumne County. And in case you got up there and you wanted to make a weekend out of it, I think there's a hotel or two in Tuolumne County probably you could stay at.
There are several hotels, Airbnbs, vacation rentals, cabins, glamping, you name it. We most likely have it. We even have covered wagons you can stay in.
Wow, sounds cool. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find a link to visit Tuolumne County, and you can find out about all the stuff we were talking about. Plus, there's all kinds of things on Lisa's list here, horseback rides, walks, an apple ranch, a cool nursery and cafe that has great photos of Yosemite, all kinds of stuff on here. Travelguysradio.com will get you the link, and you can head up to Tuolumne County. Lisa, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate you putting up with our hijinks here and giving us some great places to visit in Tuolumne County.
Thanks for letting me share.
Boy, I tell you, ever since we spoke with her, I've just been kind of looking in that direction and saying, you know, that I think
I'm going to go up to Hetch Hetchy. I've never been up there.
And you know what my biggest concern is, and I'll make it short. I don't mind going to visit, getting out of my car, wandering around, staying social distanced. But, you know, if you go too far from home, what if you got to use the bathroom? going into public restrooms.
Think of the strangest stuff.
You know, even that little McDonald's over there. So, you know,
I had hoped to take a bunch of folks to Puget Sound next Sunday. And, you know, we were still
taking a bathroom?
No. And thanks to those folks who hung in there with us to the last moment, but unfortunately the county that we're staying in up there didn't move up a notch, so maybe just as well. So we're grounded. Next week, Chris Elliott is going to come on the program. He did an article for Forbes about selling your timeshare, and some attorneys got involved, and there was a whole big hullabaloo and stuff. But the story has a happy ending. But anyway, Chris wrote some stuff about timeshares, so we're going to get him on next week and find out what shook up the timeshare industry so much that they called the lawyers. Maybe it'll be some tips for folks who are looking to dump their timeshare. That's next week here on the Travel Guys.
All right, my friends, you stay well. This is Mark and Tom, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Dance like nobody's watching. See you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.